Beatles. Boats and circuses on the air.
The president doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.I.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John has been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And once again, happy Super Bowl Sunday to you. And good morning, Mr. Dave Schwann.
Well, good morning, Dave. How are you?
I am fantastic. Are you getting ready for the big game?
I am getting ready for the big game.
What are your plans for tonight, pal?
I am going to be out with some friends a little bit later on after work, just for a little while.
All right.
Into the late afternoon, and then I'm just going home.
You know what? It's very much, though, like like Thanksgiving or Christmas. It's like, you know, what are the plans? What are you doing? Like, it's, you know, it's a big event. It's a big event to watch. It's a big event to enjoy, and it's pretty exciting. You know, I'm not as concerned. I'd love to see the Eagles win their first Super Bowl tonight. I'd love to see some really great commercials that make a nice little impact. And mm-hmm. I'd like to eat and rest comfortably on my own sofa.
You know, I think you just summed it up right there.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
I like the last part.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere either.
Comfortably on your own sofa.
Yeah. We will have about 25, 30 kids over.
Oh, that's
teenagers.
Right. You said, you won't be resting comfortably.
Well, you know what? You know, we keep the basement dry, and that's important because then I don't have to worry about anything. And not that I do with my son, but I don't know a lot of these kids, but they're all good. The ones I know are really good kids.
Mm-hmm.
But
these are all school friends, neighborhood people. And, yeah.
Josh is going to be, I was just thinking about this, Josh is going to be 17 in just a little over a month.
So is this his senior year in high school?
No, it's his junior.
Okay.
Junior. But he's had a Super Bowl party since eighth grade.
And has he really?
He's always had like two dozen kids come over. So that'll be fun tonight. I'm looking forward to that. It's a fun night at the very least. Just to hang out.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. Watch a good game. I know I'm still got this cough, man.
You know, I have to tell you. Let's see. Roger is still here. Roger, was it 1986 the Bears won the Super Bowl?
It was 86.
It was
85 Bears, but it was 86.
So that is 32 years ago.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
And I was standing outside this building.
Were you?
Afterward, watching the celebration. I'll never forget it.
That's cool.
I'll never forget
it. That's cool.
It was cold that night.
Oh, I bet it was. Well, it's going to be 7 degrees in Minnesota, but they are playing in a dome.
They're
playing inside.
Yeah. In fact, we're going to do a little story here at 5 o'clock about how cold it's going to be up there.
Lovely. Lovely. Well, you know, hey, if you want to use anything for your newscast, we had Adam Hoge and Jared Payton on talking about the NFL Man of the Year Award. Please feel free, with my permission, to use whatever you'd like, Dave.
With your blessing?
With my blessing. Or you could do Kevin Matthews and Jim Short's Pigskin Picks. WGN sports reporter Jim Short said, reporting live from Michigan. Let's see what we have here. 1909, the National Association of the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP, forms. 1919, the U.S. Parcel Service forms. Now, you know, we've talked about this before. It's coming up on, which is interesting, the 100th anniversary of the Postal Service, right?
Well, post office.
The parcel
has been around
service.
For
What's
a long
parcel
time?
Service?
Yeah.
What am I,
you know what? You say U.S. Parcel Service. Is that UPS?
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah, it's UPS. So they'll be celebrating 100 years.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Yeah, still surprises me every time I look at the numbers.
The government agency that's hemorrhaging money?
Hemorrhaging billions of dollars while UPS and FedEx have figured it out. I cannot believe this is not on President Trump's list to fix just yet. I'm going to send him a text.
I saw a story, and I don't want to throw anybody here, mm-hmm. but I saw a story. Oh, boy, it's got to be 2-3 years ago now, where the post office was at least seriously considering halting mail delivery on Saturday. It hasn't happened.
No,
I got mail yesterday and plenty of it. But
you know, I understand it for the stuff that you're overnighting and all that other stuff, but there's days that the mail sits in the box for a couple of days. That's how unimportant, I think, is what's in there. You know, around the holidays.
One reason why, look at what is the content of that mail.
Yeah.
It's ads. It's stuff that you're not interested in.
There's a couple catalogs I get that I really look forward to seeing, and I'm okay with. There's a couple bills that come through and some medical stuff. But for the most part, I mean, I do everything online. I mean, I do all my bills online. I told my dad's like, I got to go through all the bills. I'm like, go through all the bills. Just, Dad, put on automatic payment, do this, do that. I mean, it takes me 3 hours to pay the bills. I said it takes me 18 minutes. It's a different world. Yeah. 1920, the League of Women Voters forms in Chicago. 1924, the IBM Corporation founded by Thomas Watson. 1933, President-elect Franklin Roosevelt survived an assassination attempt right here in Chicago. Prior to his inauguration, FDR was almost killed by an assassin. At that time, inaugurations took place in March, not January. Had he been killed, presumably Vice President-elect John Nance Garner would have assumed the presidency at the bottom of the Great Depression. And it was the shot that went wild and killed the mayor of Chicago.
Anton Cermak. The shooting actually was in Florida, Dave.
Okay, it was not here. Okay.
Yeah, I believe it was a campaign appearance in Florida, and Anton Cermak was with him. And yes, indeed, Mayor Cermak was shot, and he took the bullet, you might say.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. Also, last week we talked a little bit about Al Capone and going to jail, and Curtis shared that conversation about his grandmother.
Yes, right.
So in speaking with his father, who wrote a report on this when he was a kid, he clarified a lot of information and has a little bit that he wants to share. So
yeah,
we were talking about Al Capone ahead, and your grandmother, great-grandmother worked for Al Capone.
My great-grandmother, Dave, you asked me what neighborhood she lived in. She lived off of Mallard on the west side, and you can actually see the building when you're driving on the Eisenhower.
Okay.
That she lived in. And, and you also mentioned that bathtub gin was very popular, too. That's actually, I got that mixed up. That's what she was doing. She was making bathtub gin out of
it. I know, isn't that great?
And another thing, too, is I also mentioned that, you know, kids around the neighborhood called her the bread lady. Well, she was Italian, so she made, you know, big loaves of Italian bread
That had to be delicious.
I'm sure it was very good. And, another thing, too, is that my grandmother felt really sorry for a lot of these older people who were just drinking and walking around the neighborhoods drunk, essentially, all this time. So when people would buy booze from her, she would give them a loaf of bread to eat along with the booze. So that way they would have something.
The effect.
Yes. Yeah,
that made sense, right?
Yeah. So that was another thing. That's what actually made her known as the bread lady in the neighborhood. And the final thing, too, is I mentioned how I was supposedly like a rumor that Capone's gang was kind of like on the street, like watching over her. Well, it turns out that my dad told me my great-grandmother was arrested 3 times. And Capone's...
It's hard to hear the words great-grandmother arrested 3 times, just in general.
Yeah, right?
But Capone's gang, I'm not sure if this is 100% true or not, but from what I understand from what my dad was told when he was interviewing her for this report that he did back in the 7th grade, Capone's gang took care of her and got her out of jail and posted the bond and the bail and all that sort of stuff. So she was just
pretty cool
in and out and got off of it 3 times.
That is a great story.
Yeah.
It's a great story. There's not a lot of personalized stories you have from that era talking about something like that, right?
Very little.
Yeah.
And very little. You know, I wish, you know, I could have asked her too. I asked my dad too, did my great-grandmother ever meet Al Capone? And my dad said, I never thought about asking her that question.
Yeah.
And he wasn't sure either way.
Yeah, just because you worked for him didn't mean you met him.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, was that if he was saying if she did meet him, that he doesn't think that she would have shared it.
Just like you, Dave, you've never really met Dean Richards. You work with him every Sunday, but you've never been able
to. I never knew him well.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. Great story, Curtis. Thanks for that,
That's
buddy.
Wonderful, Curtis.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I have to say, you make sure everybody in your family now documents has that down and documented.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, it's been well documented in my family.
Good. Very cool. Very cool. 1940, Tom and Jerry, created by Hanna-Barbera, debut by MGM. My son, my five-year-old, with all the stuff that's on Disney Channel and Nickelodeon, still loves watching Looney Tunes, still loves watching Tom and Jerry.
Of course.
Which I prefer. Yeah. You know, I mean, I want to say it's innocent, but when you look at it, it's pretty violent. I mean, some of that stuff. Yeah, but
Of it is.
1953, The Adventures of Superman TV series premiered.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, right?
The George Reeves one?
The George Reeves one.
1953.
1953. Yeah. Let's listen to the opening.
Superman. Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman. Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
There you have it. You know, TV was really only about 6 years old. I mean, and really by the early 1950s, not everybody.
1953, yeah.
Not everybody had a TV, but, you know, when you think about kids listening to old-time radio and listening to Superman on radio and so forth, this was a big show for the family.
You know what else is interesting, Dave, is that the last season or last season and a half, the episodes were shot in real color.
Shot but not aired, but then it aired later in color, right? Is that the story?
I guess, because there wasn't really color TV as we don't really refer to it as color TV anymore.
And Christopher Reeves, of course, played Superman later. No relation.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
And a whole interesting story about George Reeves and his reaction to playing Superman. He never really liked it, and he did not like the fact that he ended up being typecast.
Very typecast in it.
A little note about George Reeves. He appears in one of, if not the first scenes, of Gone with the Wind.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
He also appears in an episode as Superman on I Love Lucy.
That's right.
They've colorized. But then he killed himself, didn't he, some years ago?
That's the general take on it, yes. I saw a program on that a number of years back, and Jack Larson, who played Jimmy Olsen, he questioned that. He thought there might have been some murder involved, foul play. But the general consensus is that, George committed suicide.
7 years later, 1960, Jack Parr, who was the host of The Tonight Show, walked off The Tonight Show. Like he was upset with the network. He was upset with what was going on kind of behind the scenes. And he let it very well known and literally walked off his own show. Let's take a listen.
About what I'm going to do. And only one person knows about this. It's Hugh Downs. My wife doesn't know it, but I'll be home in time and I'll tell her. I'm leaving The Tonight Show. There must be a better way of making a living than this. There's a way of entertaining people without being constantly involved in some form of controversy, which is on me all the time. It's rough on my wife and child, and I don't need it. I like the National Broadcasting Company. They've been swell to me, and I've been pretty wonderful to them. I took over a show with 60 stations. There's now 158. The show is sold out. It's the highest, I think, money producer for this network. And I believe I was let down by this network at a time when I could have used their help. You have been peachy to me always. Jack? You know what I said to you.
Pretty crazy and emotional when you think about actually being a viewer.
And then Hugh Downs had to carry the ball for the rest of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Wow. Pretty crazy. The Beatles, of course, we just played an interview with Andrew Solt, who was the owner, who is the owner of the Ed Sullivan Library. Think about owning the programs back then, you know, and having the first appearances of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Janis Joplin and, I mean, Rodney Dangerfield's first television appearances, Joan Rivers, George Carlin. He owns the entire library of the Ed Sullivan Collection. Wow. And he joined us a little bit earlier because this week is the anniversary, of course, them appearing on Ed Sullivan. And we think about there's going to be 110 million people watching the Super Bowl tonight. There was over 80 million watching Ed Sullivan. And you think about it today, the highest rated shows even on television today are 20 million people. So this was a big audience watching the show, obviously.
Right. Those numbers still register. I mean, you don't think of that as being small.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Wow.
Let's see here. What else we have? 2005, YouTube, the popular internet site, of course, which we watch videos on every day and viewed by billions, debuted. 2005. That doesn't seem that long ago.
No.
And I feel like that's how I kind of entertain myself when I've got nothing else to do. and I'm watching old shows on there or whatever else. I mean, it's not that old, Dave.
No, it isn't.
You know, I mean, despite the way technology flies.
Despite what your children may tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that old.
There was a time before YouTube. Yes, there was, chickens. Yes, there was.
Very much so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I have to say that we not only rely on it for entertainment, we rely on it for information. You know, where you will Google something and up will come YouTube.
That's right.
Not just we in the news business, but, you know, people in general will look up something.
I got some from 708 that says, love first Superman costume that George Reeves wore. It was gray and maroon because it was being shot in black and white, and those colors made good contrast.
Right.
It wasn't until they shot it in color that they gave him a color uniform. That makes sense, of course. And in honor of our own Chicago Bears, who had a horrible season, here's one of my favorite sketches, just from a Super Bowl Sunday standpoint, from Saturday Night Live, Dub Bears with Mike Myers, George Wendt, and the legendary Chris Farley.
I'm Bob Swirsky, and I want to thank everyone for sending those cards to my brother Bill, who recently had another heart attack. We are coming to you live from Ditka's here on Thanksgiving Day, a day for giving thanks for or taking punishment from a team that is known as the Bears.
The Bears.
With me, as always, are the super fans. Gentlemen, how was your week?
Real good. Fantastic.
Real good. Fantastic. Good. Any heart attacks?
I had one.
Had a couple. Good.
Hey, Denise. Check out this scar.
Wow.
Yeah, I got it at a tailgate party. We were roasting a big pig on his spit, and I got punctured, but I didn't miss the kickoff.
Hey, that's something.
No, sir. Hey, Denise. Look at this. Rush Street, 1986, after the Super Bowl. I was kicked by a cop horse trying to pin a Ditka button on it.
Oh, yeah? Check out this. Snack bar, Lambeau Field. I was scalded by the cheese of a flaming hot nacho.
That's great.
Hey, the game's starting.
Oh, all right. We'll get back to that during a commercial. Enjoy the games, folks.
There you go. That was classic. Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
Classic.
Is that the first one?
That was one of the first ones. Yeah, first season that they did that. The Bears. The Bears, who are not in today's Super Bowl.
I wonder where they got that from.
Yeah, I wonder who. We'll be right back.